blunt. I only smoke real blunts.
We start the podcast now.
Now.
Hello, freaks. Sorry, freaks. I had to start the podcast by telling Katie some juicy, juicy information. And if you're listening to this, you know who it's about. Okay?
It's about me and my big stinky pussy.
I had to tell Katie your pussy's been so stinky, I can smell it via Zoom. Someone in the Atlanta comedy scene has deeply wronged me. You know who you are, and we will, when I see you, it is on sight.
And if you wrong Tamar, you wrong me, and I have the stinkiest pussy, and you're gonna get a big whiff of it.
Biggest mistake. How do you know Katie has the stinkiest pussy? She doesn't even have a sense of smell, so she can let it get as stinky as she wants.
Yeah, I could see green aroma lines coming off of it, like in a cartoon.
It is.
And it's on sight. It's on smell. It went
on sight for me, on smell for Katie. You're going to regret doing what you very much know you did.
You did it. You like doing it. You're going to do it again. You don't learn. And you're
not a learner.
I said yarn't. And that's how you know I'm mad. Yarn't good at comedy. So y'all better fucking shut your fucking mouth. Yarn.
And if anyone listening to this knows me personally and they're like, what is Tamar talking about? Just ask me, because I've got a big mouth about it.
Just ask me and I'll release the first part of this that we recorded.
Yeah.
On our Patreon, we will put it up there.
I don't hear about people saying bad things about me often, probably because I'm such a good person, and because I tend to just have the belief that everyone likes me, which I think is a good thing to have. So when I hear it, it fuels me. It's on sight for you.
It's on sight. Sorry, I got distracted. My fucking work is bothering me on a Saturday.
On a Saturday? Get out of town. I can't wait to get old.
I know.
It sounds really nice.
That's the big thing that's like I've learned from this is like, no matter the level of fame that you get to, you're still going to be old.
And oh my God.
If people still want to make money off of you, they're going to wheel you the fuck out and make you do your little dance or whatever.
Crazy. Yeah, I had that. It sounds like a dumb realization, but when I saw that Wendy Williams got the same like dementia that Bruce Willis had, mm-hmm. very sad. We talked about Bruce Willis. I was like, wow, celebrityness doesn't really protect you, which is like, obviously, yeah, celebrityness doesn't protect you from getting sick, but it's just crazy to see.
I read that her dementia was alcohol induced.
Oh, really? I did not read that.
Yeah, it was like something that comes on from like just like years of drinking, and it like fucks up your brain somehow.
Oh my God, I had no idea she was even a drinker. That makes sense for all of her behavior on her shows.
Yeah, 100%.
She is an insane person. I hope she's healing, but God, was she crazy.
She was entertaining. What are you gonna do?
So entertaining.
So how was you're recovering from COVID?
I am. I got the vid again. I think I've had COVID like 6 times and I'm vaccinated.
When was your last booster?
Who knows? I think it was. Yeah, I probably need another booster. Maybe
I'm not
like
encouraging
last year.
That. I'm not saying get more shots, nor am I saying don't get more shots. But I also am of the mindset that I got the one vaccine, the booster, yeah. And then I went, I'm good forever, right?
I think I got the one booster. I was like, how many I should go get a new booster when I'm out of this. Well, technically I'm out of it. So today's the first day I'm allowed to be around people, not contagious. But I tell you, man, it does not, you know, that feeling of like when you've been sick, so you haven't been moving around much. You've just been sitting. So like going on a walk, like makes you winded because mm-hmm. you've just been sitting all all for like a week, and then like your brain is slow, like brain fogginess. Like I tried to go on a little walk before this, and I literally felt like I had like I was fully disassociated. I was like, nothing feels real. My ears are clogged. I can't hear anything. I feel all foggy. It makes me a little, and of course, you know, my recording's coming up. So I'm like, what if it's like this for an entire week and I'm like this at my recording?
You're going to be great. This is the perfect time to get COVID.
That's true.
Because now you'll have, I mean, I don't understand how you can get COVID because I've had it too after the vaccine. But then shouldn't your immune system be like, no more COVID for me? Like it does not. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Also, like, what would I do if I had COVID for the recording? Like, would I have to cancel? Would I just do it?
I think you do it. Unless just you felt it really bad.
Yeah.
Just go do it.
Just move that front row back a little bit, 6 feet back.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was in, this was like, COVID was still like kind of big. It was still kind of big. And I went up to New York with Morales for her HBO taping. And like the day before it, she goes, should I get a COVID test just in case? And I'm like, absolutely not. Because, why would you do that? Like, if you've got it, then you're going to have it. And yeah, then you won't have your special.
Cancel your HBO special? Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, don't do it. And then neither of us had COVID, but the girl who was staying in our very small New York hotel room with us, which was like Carmen's stylist, she got home and she had COVID. And I was like shocked that we didn't both get, because it was like the size of my bedroom was like the whole hotel room.
It's so random, dude, because Zach had COVID like 2 months ago. And obviously didn't know it was COVID. I shared a bed with him for 2 nights. Then he tested, he had COVID. I did not get it. Okay. And then he had it again this time too with me. He had it 2 months ago and he got it again.
Oh, I was going to say, because I saw like your stories were with him. So I didn't know like if he was immune to it or what, but he got it.
His immune system, shit. But he's supposed to be good today too.
Oh my God.
Or tomorrow to see people.
Well, I'm glad y'all could at least quarantine together.
Do you know what we watched last night?
Love is Blind.
No. Oh my God, no. Have you watched that?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
That's okay. We watch you and Chris have to watch this movie. Have you heard of the movie Music by Sia?
I have.
It had a lot of controversy because it had a neurotypical person, Maddie Ziegler, playing someone with who is nonverbal autistic.
Yeah, and then they did some like crazy, like antiquated medical, not procedures, but like processing. Like they would like hold her down, like tie her down or some
restrain
shit.
Restrain her.
Restraint. Yeah. Yeah, I heard about all that. Was it funny at least? I mean, it shouldn't be funny.
I mean, it was probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen. It was, I would recommend watching it because there are so many things about it that are so awful. But like, honestly, Maddie Ziegler playing someone with autism was probably one of the most least offensive parts of the movie.
Oh my God.
Like her scenes were probably, there was just like, I mean, don't get me wrong, very offensive. So offensive. There were so many parts of it that I was like, how did this all get greenlit? Like, it just goes to show how detrimental it is to have yes people around you all the time. There were so many things brought up that were never followed through. So many deeply offensive stereotypes and like just one note characters used as props. The character of Music, which is the name of Maddie Ziegler's character, which I mean, come on, who names their kid Music? And then Kate Hudson's name is Kazoo.
Which is what you have on your finger right now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm playing with a kazoo right now.
I'm playing my Kate Hudson.
I'm playing with Miss Kate. And oh my God, it was just, you guys have to watch it. You will not believe how you just won't believe. We got a little high. We drank some Mary Jones soda.
Ooh.
Mary Jones plug and watched it. And my God, it was shocking. And you can really tell the entire time they made the movie, they were like, we are eating right now. Like, they thought they were getting an Oscar nomination 1,000%.
That's so funny.
But they literally treat her like a dog. Like, they treat, like, you know, it's supposed to be a movie about like an autistic story. It really isn't. She's a prop. They literally talk to her like she's a dog. At one point in the beginning, there's someone like she likes getting hearing animal facts. So there's someone like giving her reading animal facts to her. And then later, one of the characters is giving facts about her autism the exact same way, like she's an animal.
Do you think they thought that was deep, but then it just came off as like super tone deaf?
I don't think they even meant to do it, to be honest with you. I 1000% don't think they, I think they're like, oh, now we'll educate some people about a certain type of autism right here. But they're totally not, because then they just have, she's having like an episode and they just have this strange man straddle her on the ground and restrain her. And they're like, this is how we get her to calm down. And
that's,
I'm like,
I
dear,
need to be calmed when I'm in a tizzy.
Yeah, me too. That's how I like to be calmed down, but that is not the protocol for people on the spectrum, to just straddle them.
Oh, I do.
And
need
I'll
to
be
see
on
this. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say about Maddie Ziegler's performance. She puts her whole pussy in it. My God, is it difficult? Is it difficult to watch? Is it tough? You could really tell they're like, wow, she's gonna get an Oscar for this girl. It is, it is, they got her running on, it is bad, it is bad, bad.
It's like the what in Tropic Thunder when he plays like Simple Jack and people like want him to do it again.
Well,
there's some like small country out there that that's their favorite movie because it's the only movie they've ever been shipped.
I was reading reviews and like the discourse on it after, and some people were like, well, what about What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Like, we were all okay with that. I was like, yeah, that was 90 years ago. Not really, but you know what I mean? Like, so much, we have so much more education now and like access to, Sia's also just so funny, because when she was facing a lot of like criticism about it, she was like, they were like, you should have casted someone with autism. And she was like, okay, well, we did cast someone with autism and it was too hard to work with them, so we fired them and hired Maddie Ziegler.
What?
She's so funny.
They should have just done a documentary about them with the original casted person.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear that person's experience
behind the scenes.
Oh. You guys have to watch it and send me live updates while you watch it.
What streamer is it on?
It was on Peacock.
Oh, we gotta get Peacock.
I'm sure you could watch it for free somewhere else. Don't pay for it.
Okay.
I mean, if it's $4, maybe, but it is probably going to. I mean, it's just, it is so, it's pretty bad. There's so many layers of it that are so crazy. Kate Hudson plays the least likable character in the entire world.
That's amazing. And did she, like, did she, you think that while she was playing this, she was like, this is the, like, everybody was thinking that, like, they, all their roles were going to be it?
During, there's a ton of dance music sequences in it that are not, like, that do not flow well at all into the story. And during those, I just know they were like, this is what's going to play at the Oscars when it's, like, music. Like, they're like, this is, like, our La La Land. Like, I definitely think, I think if you're on Kate Hudson's level, right, there's no way she's signing on for projects that she thinks are going to be. That just also goes to show how out of touch famous people are. Because how the fuck did Kate Hudson hear this idea and was like, this is going to be a hit?
She's already had some other scandals too, like in her person. Like, I think she had a blackface scandal that they made fun of on that Glass Onion movie.
Oh my God, did she?
I think so.
She was like, I bet she was like, oh my God, I got to get my reputation back after the blackface scandal. I know what I'll do. I'll do a really heartwarming story about people living with special needs.
And what is exactly the plot of this movie? Like, what is.
So that's such a good question. Kate Hudson, okay, she's a bad girl, right? She's on probation, she's an alcoholic. She's got a shaved head, and she unexpectedly has to temporarily watch over her half sister, Music, who is nonverbal and has autism. And the entire time she's talking about, like, her plan is she's just going to send her to foster care or something, or put her in a home. And she becomes close with Music's neighbor, who is a man from Ghana. And that's really all, you know, we learn some couple things about him. Literally the first time. Let me just tell you the type of character she is.
Is that Leslie Odom Jr.? I'm looking at the
Rotten
Tomatoes.
It is Leslie Odom Jr. He's the one that restrains music. And like their first conversation, they're talking. She's like, how do you know? Like, how are you so good with music? And he's like, my younger brother was like music. She goes, from my village in Ghana. She went, but he died because people were not understanding of like his condition and they thought it was a curse. So he alludes that his younger brother was murdered for being autistic in his village in Ghana. That's what he says to her. And yeah. Kate Hudson goes, village? Like Greenwich Village? That's what she says in response to that.
Oh my God. 7% on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience liked it 14%.
That is
offensive in its depiction of autism and painfully misguided in essentially every respect. Music is a vanity project that begs to be turned down.
Can I spoil part of it for you?
Oh yeah, of course.
So we find out it's just all so like it's just so one so he has a nondescript African accent. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, his brother was murdered in his village for being autistic. Kate Hudson asks zero follow-up questions. Okay, later we see he's on the phone. He's talking about needing a medicine because he's sick. Immediately, Zach and I are like, he has HIV. They are 1,000% giving him HIV. Guess what he has?
Full-blown AIDS.
He has HIV. That is they're like, oh, of course, he has to have it. It's like, and then there's this character who's this like, the only depiction of Asian people we see in the movie is this, I don't know, Asian boy. I don't know. We don't really know his story. He has they're immigrants. He's first generation. His dad and his mom. The dad is super oppressive, like super yells at him, hits the mom. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the depiction we see. And at the end, he ends up pushing the son over and the son dies.
What?
They kill him. And there's absolutely no follow up to it. They just like used his story as like, oh, look how sad it would be to be a poor immigrant. And they kill him.
That's
for no reason.
His
no
parents
follow-up.
Kill him?
The dad kills him by accident.
Oh, boy.
And it's supposed to be a small town. Like everyone knows each other. And after he dies, we never hear about it again. There's no one in the town is like, oh, my God, this kid we all knew was murdered. Nope, there's nothing. There's like, oh, he died.
That's amazing.
You guys have to watch it.
I can't wait.
Maybe every line is just... And Kate Hudson plays like... Have you seen that TikTok of the girl that's like insufferable female lead?
Yeah.
That is Kate Hudson's character. It's fucking insane.
I love that she shaved her head for it. Like, Oscar winning moment.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I knew she thought she was going to get some recognition for this.
You either got to gain a bunch of weight, lose a bunch of weight, or shave your head.
Her character is so awful in it, like such a bad person, like how she talks about her sister, how she looks about it, that I'm like, if this was going to be realistic, this character would be saying the R word. Like 1,000% the way she treats her sister and the way she talks about what she's she would 1,000% be saying the R, like without
please,
a doubt.
Please, sir, help my sister. She's R worded. Please.
Please, someone, literally, it's fucking crazy.
That's insane. Well, I like that, like, people of note signed on to this. Like, Leslie Odom Jr. does not seem like somebody who's that oblivious to the world.
I know.
So that's really weird. And then it said,
I think they're just...
What's his name? The guy who played... Ben Schwartz. Is his name Ben Schwartz?
Oh, he's pretty fun. He's funny, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
He plays a drug dealer with cornrows, and I'll be honest, he steals every scene he's in, which are a couple.
Amazing.
He's the best part of the movie.
Why is the drug dealer there? Is he selling Kate Hudson drugs?
Kate Hudson sells drugs, and she needs to get the drugs from him to sell them. Oh, and she sells pills to these white women in Manhattan who are like these really rich white women, and they're like, we want Xanax and Valium, all these things. I'm like, you, a woman who's rich in Manhattan, could just go to her doctor and ask for Xanax. There's no 100%. Way they're going off the street from some stranger to get pills.
Why don't you go on Instagram, get served one of those hers ads 1,000 times?
Literally.
Or what's the other one for women healthcare? Tia.
Speaking of Tia, Sia makes a cameo playing herself. So basically, Kate Hudson has this big customer, which is Sia. She wants to buy pretty much all the drugs because she wants to send it to war-torn countries where people like need medication. And like she wants to take the medication on a private jet and give it to them. And she calls it Pop Stars Without Borders.
Does she play herself?
She plays herself. And she calls Kate Hudson. She goes, the drug dealer's here. Drug dealer. Look at you, drug dealer.
Is it supposed to be a satire? Because it's feeling like really heavy handed to be like a drama. Like I think I'm going to love this piece of art. Honestly.
I think you guys need to watch it. And then I think we all need to watch the J-Lo movie. This Is Me Now.
Have I heard of that?
You must. Have you not?
This Is
PJ
Me Now.
PJ said it was. It's J-Lo's semi-autobiographical musical movie experience that is supposed to be terrible.
Oh my God. So there's acting in it?
Oh yeah, you'll have to watch the trailer later. In the trailer, okay. She goes, and it's about like her love addiction, or like basically like all the relationships she's had, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's very like cerebral. And at one point in the trailer, she goes, "Being with you feels like home." And then there's a song. She goes, "But I left home for a reason."
75 Rotten Tomatoes, 81 audience score.
Okay, that's pretty good.
A little bit better than.
No, music's definitely worse.
Oh, they've got Fat Joe as her therapist.
Uh-huh.
And then all the characters are just named after zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm. That's supposed to be a big part of it.
This is amazing.
We definitely need to watch it. And there's also a documentary about the making of the movie.
Somebody said, I don't know what I just watched, but I know I hated it. And I love that. That's a great review. It was confusing and it made me sick.
Music made me pretty sick. Y'all gotta watch it. It's
makes me lose control. All right. What did I just watch? I would say this is a good recommendation. I enjoyed this very much. Do you know who Britt Marling is?
That sounds so familiar.
She did like the OA on Netflix a few years back, which I thought was really good.
Okay.
And then her new show is called Murder at the Edge of the World, or Murder at the End of the World.
Okay.
And my only complaint is that the two main characters are British and they use American accents, and their American accents are good, but I just want to hear British voices. Let's be honest.
I know you do.
That's
I
all
know
I
you
want.
Do.
But it was really good, like a very interesting new, like, because I love a whodunit. I love foul play. And this was definitely like one of those endings where you're like, oh shit, finally somebody thought of a new twist.
Ooh. So,
yeah. And there's like, and what I liked about it is that it like, so it's, there's like a current murder and then all the flashbacks are of them solving a different murder. So it's like true crime inspired, like not like based on true story, but like true crime podcast kind of people. But instead of making that the whole show, they made that just like the B story. And I thought that was really interesting.
I'm intrigued. I'm a little let down. There's no musical pop star in it, but I'll give it a shot.
You got Clive Owen. You got Britt Marling. Jermaine Fowler's in it. A couple people I'd never seen before. But yeah, very good. The two leads are very good.
I'll check it out. Wow, you gave us one good recommendation. I gave one very bad recommendation. Probably worst movie you'll ever watch.
I mean, that's a high bar, and I think I'm willing to take the leap.
Check it out. Did we get anyone say anything on your Instagram of things they want us to talk about?
No, I didn't get any messages, sadly.
What the fuck? We got to phrase it as questions. People are just so into themselves.
That is true. I mean, that is something I've learned from posting for some of these brands where it's like you have to do these dumb, like, to get engagement, like a call to action, which is like, tell us your favorite whatever in the comments. And then if it's anything that's like vague at all, like there'll be no comments because people just don't know how to reply.
It's got to be so specific.
Yeah. It's like, who's your favorite artist? And people comment. And then it was like, what was the other one we put? Who's your favorite tastemaker? And somebody just wrote me. And then there was no other comments.
Dudes rock. That's funny. Yeah. I saw that one. I didn't respond, but I almost did write me.
Yeah, I remember talking about that. I was like, do it. We'll get engagement. Dude, I've been getting served your ad for Mary Jones so much. I want to hear if any other freaks have seen you, Shaunic, Piper, or Damon, because it really cracks me up every time I see it in my stories.
We did an advertisement for, I made one of those Instagram videos for a weed soda. Honestly, genuine video. It was very delicious. But that makes sense that you're getting it advertised to you.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I'm definitely the demographic, but they don't make a diet soda, so I don't drink it.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That would
Because
be,
I
do
know
you think they
Jones
would?
soda tastes good. I've had the original like weed one before I was on keto and it was great, but can't enjoy the product.
Oh, Katie Hughes.
But yeah, I'm glad that you guys are doing more of them. And then I got some other Atlanta comics doing the non-weed sodas.
Oh, they just have normal soda?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's like the I think the brand is actually older than you are. I think it's
It's,
27 years
oh my
old.
God, and I'm 17.
And you're
That's 10 years older
17.
than me.
Yeah. But it's like craft soda, so it's like cane sugar or whatever. And it's supposed to be like this grunge rock kind of thing, but like nobody buys anything but the big name brands on the soda aisle, honestly. Like just price point wise, so we're trying to get the numbers up.
We like that cream soda we got from the little bodega near me. That's that stuff with the squirrel on it.
Oh, that one's really good. Yeah.
Those are amazing.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for some other UGC from Atlanta comedians, because I might not be doing comedy, but I'm still trying to get my friends paid.
And for that, you're an angel.
I'm trying, man.
I'm excited for the new ones. Do I get new flavors?
No, but you're getting a ton of them.
How many?
Like four packs.
Holy fuck. Why so many?
Because the ones that I shipped you the first time were out of our office, but we're out of like product now, so I had to order it off the website. And you can either order a single four pack or four. Like you can't just like get a mixed four pack. So you had to, I had to send you all of them.
And I go through those so slow. I drink like 2 milligrams at a time. Like I still
Amazing.
have two cans left.
I think you're going to be getting 160 milligrams worth of weed.
Gonna take me a year.
Hell yeah.
Because I like drinking the 2 milligram one. That was perfect. So when I have the 5 or the 10, I really split it to try to get 2 milligrams.
Yeah.
Do you know, I know someone, I won't expose them, even though I doubt they would care. They drank two in one night, 2 of the 10 milligrams in one night, and they said it was a lot, but good.
That is a lot.
That is so much, bro, because it's strong. It hits you pretty quick, too.
Yeah, that's so fun. Plus, you get that nice sugar high. I'm sure they were zooming around, seeing things from their past. I don't even know.
That is the funny thing. It is interesting because I've only drinking it at nighttime alone in my house or like with Zach in my house. I've never drinking it and gone out. So it is funny to think like, oh, I'll have this, I'll get ready for bed, but I really am drinking like 30 grams of sugar before bed, which isn't really conducive to a good night's sleep.
Time for bed. You're sitting in bed just like.
Oh my God, Katie, speaking of bed, do you want to hear the craziest thing I've been experiencing while I sleep recently?
Of course.
Have you ever experienced this? I've been having dreams within dreams. I
No.
swear to God, I'd be waking up in my dream being like, oh my God, thank God that was a dream. And now I'm awake. And then I have that dream. And then I wake up and I'm like, I had two dreams.
That's crazy. I've never had that.
It is so bizarro.
I did have recently, because I never dream about comedy, and I was even like talking like to the girls we went down to the beach with, and they were all talking about like they've had comedy stress dreams, and I'm like, that's never my stress dream. And then I
Huh.
finally had one, and it is fucking horrible.
What was it?
It was just like one of those things where it's like you know you're on the list, but then you keep getting like you know pulled into another room or like distracted with something, and so like you miss your spot, and then you have to like ask to go up like. Just like literally the nightmare that you try to avoid in real life for comedy.
My stress dreams are normally losing my teeth and shit, but I've had that's all, but I've had comedy dreams. It's always that like I'm about to go on stage and do like a lot of time and I don't remember any of my jokes.
And that's just my waking truth.
It's always the feeling of like that feeling before we did that clean show.
Oh,
it's that in the dream. Like, I think in the dreams, it's always a clean show. And I'm always like supposed to do an hour clean. And I didn't prep and I forgot I had to do it. And I'm about to go up and I don't remember anything. Oh, and I can't find anything to write anything down. Oh my God, it's awful.
Ugh. I would say my main stress dream is the driving. It's always commuting of some sort. So it's like driving on the interstate, being at an airport, trying to catch a train. Like, it's always that.
Would you hold the microphone a little bit closer so I can hear you better?
Yes.
That's
sorry.
Oh my God, that's so much better. Thank you. Oh no, you're so good. You're so good, little baby.
Thank
Don't you even worry. There's my little baby girl.
But yeah, I think I did stop because I was drinking like the chicholata before bed. I would have like a couple chugs of that.
What's that?
Another weed soda, but it tastes like a michelada. So it's like a Bloody Mary with like non-alcoholic lager in it.
Ooh,
very
that
strong.
Sounds good. Oh,
it's
yes,
very
you give
tasty.
That to my parents. That sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So good. And like, I realized that I was like having trouble like in the morning, like waking up, but also like once I stopped drinking that, then like the dreaming came back. It would just knock me out. So maybe more weed soda before bed is what I'm trying to say.
Bro, the weed, I don't know how you can drink that and immediately go to bed, because the amount of times my mom had like this edible thing that she would like, she takes a bite of it and then just goes to sleep. And I had it one time and I was just awake in my bed high. Like, it didn't put me to sleep. It just made me feel every joint I've ever had. And I was so twitchy. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this is not knock me out. I only get knocked out if I have the edible. Then I stay up for a while.
Yeah.
Then I go to bed.
Ugh.
You know what I've been doing to wake myself up?
What?
You're going to hate this. You got to try it. You know, any little thing I like, I make you try. The next time you're tired, like before, I do this a lot in the evening before a show, I get a... Are we back?
We're back.
Okay, great. That was really suspenseful. Okay.
It was.
So, I've been getting a big bowl and filling it with a ton of ice and water and then dumping my face in it for as long as I can, which is usually 20 to 30 seconds. And I do that like 2 to 3 times in one go. And at first it hurt so bad, but the more you do it, the more it's like you don't want to do it more than twice a day, but like it feels, you get out and it feels like you took a shot of espresso.
This is when you get out of bed in the morning?
I've done it when I wake up and I'm feeling really tired. And I've also done it like, fuck, it's 6 o'clock. I got shows and I feel really tired. I don't want to like drink caffeine. Let me do this instead to feel more awake.
Oh, that's a good idea. I always need that.
And both have been effective.
Nice. I'm going to start bringing a huge bag of ice to work and then be like, guys, I got to restart my brain. And then just like giving myself the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, I do call it the ice bucket challenge. I've also filmed myself doing it and put it on OnlyFans.
Amazing. How's really the OnlyFans going?
OnlyFans is going great. Guys, if you're here from OnlyFans, I doubt you are. But thanks for the support. Been getting some fun messages.
I saw a couple that you posted.
You like those? You like
yes.
My responses?
Very funny.
And it reminds me of being like, some of the messages and how I respond reminds me of being like a teenager on Omegle. And people would say things like, send me your tits. And then I would send back something silly in response. It really feels nostalgic of that.
Omegle. I remember Omegle.
Did you go on Omegle?
Yeah, sometimes we would go on to promote comedy shows. And we thought that was really funny.
That's hilarious. Did it work?
No.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No.
They're like, I'm here to see naked kids, not do comedy.
Yeah. One time we did a chat roulette comedy show in Asheville, and there were 100% dicks that came up on that TV screen in the bar.
That's such a funny idea. So it's a live show, and then you're also on chat roulette doing it?
Yeah. It was at the Hangar bar at the airport in Asheville. So it was just like attached to like a hotel. And boy, would we get wasted there. What a time.
That's such a good idea. I know they shut down one of those websites, if not both of them.
They both should be shut down.
They definitely both should be shut down. Was it Omegle or Chat Roulette they shut down?
I'm going to look. I see. Omegle.com still exists.
Okay, they must have shut down Chat Roulette then.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, no, wait.
Is it shut down?
Yeah, Omegle shut down. So you could just go to it and it's just a letter that's like apologizing.
What's it say? For what? For all the years of horror?
Yeah, I think there's it's too much to read, but let's see.
Sorry about the pedophiles.
Kind of. To an extent, it is reasonable to question the policies and practices of any place where crime has occurred. Okay. There we go. Crimes were occurring.
Justice for Omegle.
Bring back Omegle.
Yeah, what if that was my passion? A petition, petition.org, bringing back Omegle.
I just need it back. You'd be on a watch list, I'm pretty sure.
You know what's the worst thing to think about? Imagine you're on Omegle and you see your dad on there. Doesn't that make you want to die?
That would be terrible.
Like, they're not even doing anything, you know, they're not even doing anything crazy. They're just on there, which in itself is crazy.
I would be genuinely concerned. Well, I would be confused as to how my daddy figured out the internet, but
as would I.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'd be like, he much thought this was a YouTube Family Guy clip.
Did he think this was a point of view bike trail in Western North Carolina video?
He must have been looking for an episode of Swamp People. How did he get on this?
Chris and I did go down a rabbit hole the other day. Not to say I miss Hendersonville, North Carolina to any degree, but we did watch a concerning amount of videos of people like my day in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And it was so boring. It was very comforting, but it was also so boring because it was like this one couple, they would just do the same thing every video. So it would go to this juice bar.
Okay, I'm in.
Then they would go to downtown Hendersonville, park in the same spot, walk to the coffee shop, get a coffee, talk to each other about the coffee on a table, and then just walk back to their car. Amazing content. I mean,
they definitely, when are they shitting? Because juice and a coffee? Yeah. You definitely got to put in some toilet time.
I think that's why they went to the coffee shop. You have to buy something to use the toilet. I kept being like, can I see my mom's store? And they would never even go past the block that the coffee shop was on. So it didn't happen.
Oh my gosh. Then what would they do after that?
The video would end. They'd be like, or they'd take their dog on a walk in Flat Rock, which is not Hendersonville. So the title of the video is a lie.
Yeah, it kind of sounds nice, though.
It was funny. The one other guy we watched, he went downtown during Apple Festival, which is just like when all the hillbillies crawl out of their trailers. And, they'll have like music and stuff at different like spots along the street. So he'd be walking, he'd get to a music stage and he would start running. So you'd just see the camera like shaking and he'd be like, I don't want to get a DMCA strike or whatever. Like he thought the music that some local hillbilly was playing, if he put it on YouTube, he would get in. I was like, this is an amazing level of knowledge about how the internet works. And I really love it.
That's so funny. Him running as fast as he can. Yeah. That was like when I was a kid and I wanted to make YouTube videos with my friends when I'd go sleep over at their house. And my parents were really against it. But my mom was like, you can do it, but you can't say your real name in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be like, I'm Brittany and this is Todd. I'd be like, it's T-Star. If I say the name Tamar, they'll be able to find me where I live and come kidnap me.
T-Star.
That's what I would say.
Look out. I mean, I think that's a great stage name. T-Star.
It's pretty good. T-Star Comedy.
Yeah.
My name on Instagram was It's Tamar Star, ITS Tamar Star, until like a year ago or two ago when Tamar Rubin 69 made an appearance.
Such a good name.
So good. Can you believe it was available? I cannot believe it.
I love putting that on professional decks that I present at work where I go, here's our first influencer, Tamar Rubin 69.
I performed for a rabbinical convention. So it was 300 rabbis and then it went great. And afterwards they were like, what's all your social media so we can share it in the email blast? And you bet I had to type Tamar Rubin 69.
And guess who didn't get the email blast?
to get them follows.
That's very funny. Was it literally just 300 like middle-aged men?
So it was a Reconstructionist rabbi convention. And Reconstructionist is way more like, they're very progressive, very rooted in social justice, and very much like, it's way more like, so it was a lot of like men and women, a lot of gay people. There was like yarmulkes that said Black Lives Matter. Like, they're very like young people.
Okay.
I got hit on by a woman, you know, so it was very like, they were very cool. Literally, I said one of the first jokes I said was like, I didn't know what Reconstructionist Judaism was. So I looked it up and I read a 7-page article and it just said that you guys aren't like other girls. And they loved it. They were honestly sick as fuck.
Is that the Thank one God. That I put the guy in contact with you?
No, I couldn't do that one.
Oh.
But I recommend someone else. But thank you. And I was doing another show or out of town or something.
Okay.
This was different. This was one of those things I got asked to do like 4 months ago. And I was like, yep, put it in the calendar. And then when I got there and saw how many rabbis there were, and the age range was 25 to 70.
Oh, perfect.
And when I saw that, I was like, this was a grave mistake. Why did I agree to this?
But it went okay?
It went amazing. Oh my God. It was awesome. They were so cool. Yeah. It was honestly very like one of the coolest. I don't know. I rarely get to perform for Jewish people. And so getting to do so and doing Jewish jokes that hit like differently, because the Jewish jokes hit hard, but it's fun to see what parts hit different with Jewish people. And they were like so down and fun and cool. And like, I had a ton of fun with them. And it's always cool when like, that is, I will say, every time I do a show that's clean, it was like PG-13, which is funny because they said PG-13, don't say any, you know, don't swear. And then after I did my set, there was a burlesque performer who was awesome, but she came out with yarmulkes on her tits and then would take the yarmulkes off and throw them at people. And she was a hit. They loved it. They were like, they were cool. They were down, but.
That's wild.
It was literally sacrilegious. It was amazing. She was so cool.
That's great. I love that.
But
did
every
it
time
pay
I
good?
Yeah, it, oh, it did. I did 10 minutes. I got like $200.
Most important part at the end
it
of
was
the
sick.
Day.
Yeah, they were sick as hell. And it was so much fun. And then there was a dance party after. But and it was on a Tuesday too. So it was like, oh, sick. But every time I've done a clean show, I feel this extra feeling of like, oh, this is so special that like there's people in the audience who are 80 years old and people in the audience who are my age and everyone's laughing. Like it's, I don't know. It's more it's cool when things can be a little more accessible.
Yeah.
That's how I felt doing that show. I was freaking out about the 20 minutes clean when there was a family with two teenagers there and it went well. I was like, oh, that's so cool that like the teens got to enjoy something that the 70-year-olds were enjoying. Like it is cool when things can be more widely enjoyed.
I've been having a very hard time lately narrowing down what is clean comedy, because like I'll get, you know, be like asked to like, you know, err on the side of caution or this is clean or, you know, but and then you'll see somebody, I think I told you about this, like the first person I did a show where they're like, this is clean, and then the first person on stage did an abortion joke and I'm like, not that clean. And then I'll be like, okay, I'll just do whatever. But then when I like sit down to be like, okay, what would my clean set be? I'll be like, oh, this joke's clean. And I'll get to like writing it out. And I'm like, doesn't end clean. And then it's like every single one like that.
Yeah, I feel like clean versus church clean. Because I feel like I could do 20, like I did 20 clean, but I don't think I could do church clean. Like I don't think I have anything really that's church clean. Maybe like 3 jokes.
I wish I could. I wish I could write clean jokes.
I feel like you do have so many clean jokes,
but then they go weird and gross at the end, or you know, and then.
But they're technically still clean.
That is true. I ruin it with like dick jokes at the end. I don't know. Sorry,
the dick jokes aren't clean, but even the ones that get like weird or dark, like I still think that's clean.
Yeah, I guess it's a harder sell.
I think you have so much clean stuff. When I see you freaking out about a clean show that I'm on, then I start to freak out because I'm like, well, Katie has triple the amount of material I do.
My favorite was that the animal benefit that we did where he goes, and don't speak ill of animals. And I'm like, that's half my act.
Yeah, literally your whole clothes, your dog.
Yeah. This dumb bitch. And they're like, oh no.
No.
We wish you hadn't
eat
said
it.
That.
If I bomb, I'm gonna go fuck that dog.
Fuck that dog. So you have your recording this Friday.
Oh my god, yeah, only 6 more days till you come surprise me.
Dude, I did look at plane tickets and they are so expensive.
Ugh, you're really and trying to throw me off my track, aren't I? Aren't
I do,
you?
I do apologize. I don't think
I
I'll
already...
be making it.
Nice try, Katie, because someone bought the ticket under the name of Beef Wellington, and I know that's you trying to surprise me. So,
I like that
nice
you're in Delta's.
Try.
Delta. Oh, the ticket to the show is Beef Wellington?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know it was you. Yeah, of course you think it's amazing. You're the one that did it.
How are the tickets selling?
Tickets are good. We have, so I can sell 60 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, we have 37 sold.
Oh, that's great.
I'd like some more, I'll be honest. I hope to God I sell out.
I think you will by the day. People just don't buy tickets until
I
last
know.
minute. It sucks.
But the fact that 37 people have already bought tickets makes me think, well, maybe that's just as many that's going to sell.
No, those are your super fans, but then the rest will sell.
Honestly, I don't even know who a lot of the people are who bought tickets.
Oh, really?
It's a lot of names I don't recognize. I know some people, but like a lot of them I don't. The majority, I would say, I don't know, which is cool and also a little nerve-wracking.
Can be a whole audience full of freaks.
I hope so. Guys, freaks, if you have not bought a ticket yet to my It Is album recording, it's literally $10. So what are you waiting for?
Should I put
And
this episode out on Thursday so we can
oh yeah, if we can
promote
swing
it?
it, that'd be great.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, go get tickets. It's tomorrow night. Friday.
Yes. Oh
March
my god,
22nd.
That's so crazy. Whew.
And it's gonna be great.
I don't know what I'm gonna wear.
I liked your clips from the other Rhizome show that you did.
Thanks. Yeah, those look great.
Yeah, came out really good.
They did a good job. They're bringing all they're driving too, so they're bringing all the same lighting and sound stuff.
Nice.
So hopefully it'll look that good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think Jeremy does a good job.
Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, it looks great. So, you know, whatever. Guys, the next time you hear from me, I will have recorded an album.
That's so exciting.
I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to have fun. And God, am I excited for it to be done, dude.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I'm excited to go to bed and not have to think about it.
Are you going to take time off after you're done recording it? Like, you can take, like, a week off or anything? Or do you have, like, just more shows booked?
So I'm starting to be aware of my own ways, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How I'll be like, I'll take time off, and then I don't. So I literally have been booking stuff, not comedy shows, for the days after the recording.
Mm-hmm.
So like the next day I'm going to my friend's performing with a band in Little Five Point. So I bought 2 tickets for that the day after. I'm like, I'm gonna go do that. And then there's like a burlesque show on Sunday, and I put it in my calendar and I was like, I'm gonna go do that. Like, I'm trying to
nice.
Do some other stuff the days after.
That's a great idea.
And then I'm going to New York on the 26th. So
hell yeah. How long are you gonna be up there for?
I'm there for a week. It's for my cousin's wedding, and it's like 3 days of stuff for that, and then I am doing a show there on Sunday, and I'm finishing emptying out my storage unit.
Oh, the never-ending storage unit.
I was really stupid the last time I was there. I was like, it shouldn't take that long, there's not that much stuff. And my friend who had gone to the storage unit to grab something, and she was like, yeah, it's really not that much stuff. And then I went like one of my last days, like 2 hours before it closed, and I was like, yeah, it's not that much stuff, but it's at least 10 boxes that I have to look through. The first box I opened, there's a copy of my social security card on top of it. So I'm like, I have to thoroughly look through every single box and organize it in trash, getting rid of, taking home. So yeah, it is time consuming.
Dang.
Are
you going up there with anybody or just yourself?
Just myself, but my family's going to be up there for the wedding.
Oh, cool.
And I get to stay in that sick Park Slope apartment again.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to that family. The nicest people in the world.
Dude, that Fernbank Museum looked really fun.
It was so sick. Have you been?
I can't believe I lived so close to it when I was in Decatur.
It was so cool. And it's attached to this entire like walking nature path.
That's awesome.
Like I might become a member just to do that.
I should have gone. Maybe next time I go down there, I'll go.
We can go together.
Next Friday. I'm just kidding.
Oh my God, Katie, seriously?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay, here's a question for you. What should I do day of the taping? I think I'm going to try to go take a Pilates class.
Mm-hmm.
I've already asked Shelly if she's around so we can hang out. I want to like have a fun day and like keep myself occupied. You know, I don't want to just be, I want to not be freaking out. I want to be like cool, calm, and collected.
I think day of, I just tried to like focus on the jokes. Like, I think I was just like too obsessed with it. Like, but I mean, I think your plan sounds better to like get your mind off of it and have fun.
What did you do day of?
Just obsessed like over joke order and like tried to pump myself up.
Oh God. How much did you eat that day?
Oh, I don't remember. Probably not a lot. I don't think I ate anything in the green room at the Skull.
When did you stop having diarrhea?
Never. I still have it. I'm having it right now.
What did you do the day after your recording?
I don't remember. Probably cried.
Sick.
Just sick. I don't think I was working at Havas yet, so I don't think I did anything. It was a Sunday. I remember I recorded on a Sunday, so it had been going into Monday. Maybe I just went to Star Bar the next night.
Damn, bro. Sorry, I totally glazed over you saying you're having diarrhea this very second.
I'm having it.
Damn, that's how she keep that pussy so stinky. Call back to the start of the episode.
Call back. Stinky puss.
Stinky Puss Hughes.
This is our 40th episode. Very exciting.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. Think of how far we've come. 40 wow. Episodes, 2 years.
2 years. Let's take a look back at some of our most influential moments.
Hit the montage.
Hit it.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else happening.
Yeah, give me an update. Tell me something crazy.
I have a show tonight that I got asked to do this morning, so I don't know where it is or anything.
You have no details.
I think it's a don't tell.
Ooh. Sounds like they're not telling.
They refuse to tell.
Where's That'll be fun. I bet it'll be at a cool spot.
It's in Simi Valley.
Ooh, in the handicap stall of a Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, don't tell anybody about this one. Don't tell anyone. But yeah, just working, doing all the stuff.
That'll be fun.
Ugh. It never ends.
This grind, baby girl. Choo choo.
I'm hustling. I'm struggling. I'm thriving, and I'm diarrheaing.
Come on, my diarrhea girl.
Diarrhea girlies out there.
I'm featuring for Martin Urbano tonight at The Earl, which I'm pumped about.
That's
He's
awesome.
So funny.
One show?
Just one.
Two shows? One show?
The old one and done. I know, I wish it was two.
Hell yeah. I like the Earl shows. I think they're fun.
They're so fun, dude. I love the guy that like runs it, and I love that spot. And yeah. They're great. They take care of you.
They do a good job.
I like eating my little tofu, my tofu dinner.
They have tofu there?
They have a tofu pita. They have a couple tofu dishes, but they have a tofu pita. And I just get that over a bed of rice.
Ooh.
It's very good.
Have you decided on a title yet? Or is that going to come after the recording?
I have not decided on a title yet. Let me see if I have any new ones to read to you. I'm hoping that during the recording, I'll get off stage and be like, oh, of course, it was this all along.
I think that'll happen.
I think I told you about one of the ideas was, oh yeah, I texted you Heath Ledger's The Joker.
Yeah, that's very funny.
That could be funny. If that hits really hard, that could be a good one. Mainly because the album cover could be me in Heath Ledger Joker makeup.
Yeah.
in the aisle of a grocery store, and that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's the only real new one. Will Foskey.
Let me send you what. Oh, he told me. I talked to him the other day, and he told me that he had a great title for you. It might already be taken, but
yeah. He's had a couple really good titles for me. Yeah, those are all, that's the new one. So maybe that, it could always be Tamar Rubin self-entitled though. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And my vibe, you know?
Yeah.
You hate it.
No, I do like that one. I know we've already talked about that one. I've already been enthusiastic about self-entitled.
When did you think of Queen of the Castle?
I think after I recorded and just was like, oh, that's the bit. And also kind of like the rest of the album was about like not being girly and all that stuff, so I was like, oh, it kind of all ties into that, I guess.
That actually is really smart. Actually
really smart.
Actually really smart. Shocking.
Shocking. And then my special was supposed to come out on this 22nd, or no, not
oh
the 22nd,
God.
Like last, maybe, I forgot what day. But I was like, doesn't that seem soon since I just found out the date? And they went, oh yeah. And so it's going to be April 5th now. So if we told the freaks a different date last episode, it's a new date. And that date is Friday, April 5th.
Putting it in the calendar. Is this double feature?
Double feature on Helium's YouTube. And it is okay.
No, I bet it's great.
It is fine.
Stop it.
I don't want to pump it up too much. I feel like people are always like, this is the best work I've ever done. I'm like, this is some work that I have done.
I'm sure it was great.
Things were not good at the time. And
you were going through a lot.
I was going through it. I did my best. What more can you ask for?
You almost wore my shirt for it.
I did. And I looked at it and I went, this isn't me. You can see my tummy. You can see my tummy.
Could you? It's not even cropped.
My tummy was hanging out.
That means it's good. If your tummy ain't hanging out, Tamar ain't interested.
I knew I would have just been fingering my belly button the whole time. If I'm given access to that little thing, oh, I'm going to touch it.
I understand that honestly all too well.
Ooh, give me some of that stinky hole, and not my pussy this time,
and not her stinky pussy.
I like that this podcast starts off the rails and then it kind of gets normal and then it just goes completely back off the rails.
We like to have open, middle, close. Call
open,
back
middle, close. Open, middle, close. Every good story has a beginning, middle, and an end.
Every good story has a beginning, middle, stinky pussy.
It's actually called the four-act structure. It's opening, stinky pussy, stinky belly button, and then close.
Actually. All right. Anything else?
No.
Freaks,
boring
we'll have more,
boring
we'll
life
have more...
over here. Stinky pussy, oh. Boring life.
We'll have more updates next week. I'm coming next. Yes. I'm going to come to you a completely different person.
I can't wait.
Man. It's going to go straight to my head, bro.
You're going to show all these fucking haters.
Oh, hey, I just want to thank anyone who's been a hater of mine. Thank you. Because you pushed me and you've motivated me. I got too many lovers. I've needed some haters.
I don't understand openly talking shit, but that's what this podcast is for, is to do that and then edit it out. So anybody who wants to talk shit, start your own podcast and then redact it and you'll feel just as good.
If you're going to talk shit, you need to call up your good friend who's your confidant and talk shit. You shouldn't be talking shit to the friends of people who you're talking shit about.
Great advice.
That's my only advice. Unless you're just bored and you want to stir things up, then do that exactly.
It would be so funny if somebody came up to you and then in third person was talking shit about you to you.
Yeah, my hair's in a ponytail. They can't even tell it's me.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you get ready for your show. I'm going to hit end here. And
perfect.
Freaks, we love you.
Love you, freaks. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
What you say? What that mean? I don't know. Top shelf, bitch, I'm on the honor roll.